Environmental activists have relied on public pressure, boycotts, and confrontation to advance their cause over the past few decades. Now, a new generation of eco-warriors has developed its own approaches to achieving its goals. As she traveled around the globe campaigning against whaling, Emily Hunter met many other young people who, she says, are revolutionizing environmental activism.
People like Jamie Henn, who use the internet with 350.org to mobilize and connect a global climate movement into being. Tanya Fields, an African-American woman who is a single mother in the Bronx of New York, who used urban farming, actually, as a tool for change. She took back a space in the Bronx, not only to create a natural space for the community, but to have a space for the community to come together and build on a project to give access to food and a place where other women like herself could get training and workshops and really empower themselves.
Hunter grew up with environmental activism. Her parents were co-founders of Greenpeace. Her father, Robert Hunter, led the first on-sea protest against whaling and campaigned against nuclear testing and climate change. Time magazine named him one of the eco-heroes of the 20th century. His daughter says the 21st century eco-movement is different.
There's much more diversity going on than before. I feel like the faces and the voices aren't just of white rich people. It's of people from all kinds of backgrounds, coming from all around the world.
Hunter asked 22 of those people to write their own stories for a new book. In The Next Eco-Warriors, 24-year-old Kenyan Kevin Ochieng tells of leading 5,000 young people in a march up Mount Kenya to draw attention to the problem of climate change and demand government action against global warming. In The Lone Warrior of China, Hunter says, Wen Bo writes about raising awareness about protecting the environment.
He gathered students on environmental issues, and that was just after the Tiananmen Square massacre. So this was a very risky thing to be doing around that time. They just did a very peaceful tour to a wilderness area in Yunnan that was an unprotected area that was being hacked down and being logged to destruction, killing off a lot of biodiversity in this region and destroying cultures that were there too. So by just taking a tour as youth and a youth group and taking a bit of media over there and highlighting the issue, they were actually able to expose it enough that the Chinese government later put protection laws to protect the Yunnan wilderness area.
While women have always been part of the environmental movement, Hunter says more women are taking a leading role today.
One example is Elizabeth Redman, who kind of uses innovation and ideas to create a flooring system that you just walk on to generate power.
For a long time, I was really putting the idea out there and getting a lot of traction in the press and, you know, seeking to inspire and educate people about, you know, this possibility as the future of energy.
The surfaces created by Redman's company, PowerLeap, use piezoelectricity, which converts the vibrations from walking, dancing, or running into energy that can be stored for future use.
I returned last winter from a job I installed in Saudi Arabia for King Abdullah's City of Atomic and Renewable Energy. We have some installations with our flooring partners in their headquarters and some very interesting ones that we're planning right now for city airports and train stations.
In The Next Eco-Warriors, Native American activist Ini Begay shares the story behind the Black Mesa Coalition, an intertribal, inter-ethnic organization founded to end strip mining on the Navajo Reservation's land in northern Arizona.
It does have environmental effects on the land and the pollution of the land and the air and the water, but it also had really cultural and social effects for us, this area, Black Mesa.
They won that battle, but immediately faced another. Fossil fuel development was a major provider of jobs on the reservation. Their mission now, Begay says, is to create green jobs.
We're right now in the beginning phases of supporting a number of pilot projects and really working with the community members to decide what it is that's best for their communities. An example is using our traditional knowledge and combining it with maybe our Western university educations. Now, we take something like weaving, and the women do weave rugs from sheep wool, taking that traditional art and combining it with like a marketing structure and building a weaver's co-op that can then market those rugs, say, through the internet. We'll be able to reach, you know, a whole new audience of customers.
To explore those possibilities and spread their message, Emily Hunter says these new eco-warriors are using all the new technology at their disposal.
I think that the old tools just aren't really as effective as they used to be, hanging a banner or lobbying government or signing a petition. You know, while that can still be effective, it's, you know, not as effective as it used to be 30 and 40 years ago, and I think it's much more effective using a whole new assortment of tools, including the internet, social networking, using websites to connect people, are able to create a space where people from all around the world can connect, can learn of events and actions, can take part, and can really build this global climate movement.
That's why eco-activist Emily Hunter says this is an exciting time for the environmental movement. She challenges young people to become change makers in their communities and their world. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.